Verse 31, we began here last week without understanding. Now we have to keep in mind that this is the result of a reprobate mind, and that's how we need to consider this. Having said that, we saw last week that man by nature, man by birth, does not understand spiritual matters. He's without understanding. Does not matter what the age of the individual is. They are without spiritual understanding. To say that, well, that so-and-so, they're at an age where they can understand, that's not so. They're without understanding. That's true of all men by nature, by birth, without understanding. So there's a natural, without understanding, spiritual understanding. We saw last week that this is connected to foolishness and atheism in heart, to corruption or a degradation of morals, to abomination, to a non-pursuit of God. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. That is, in a saving way. There's a connection to hatefulness toward God and acts of oppression against God's people. There's a connection to a rejection of God. Man does all these things by nature. But here in Romans 1, without understanding, is something that goes beyond man's natural lack or absence of understanding. It's something that goes beyond man's natural spiritual dullness. Again, it is the result of a reprobate mind. It's kin to what we read in verse 21, their foolish heart. The heart was already foolish. We're born that way. And the heart was already darkened, but it's even this is something that goes beyond. Their foolish heart was darkened, made black and ignorant. So this, without understanding, goes beyond the natural absence of spiritual understanding. So what is it? What does it mean to be without understanding? All you have to do to find out what it means is talk to just about anybody today and listen to what they say. Without understanding, it is a lack of comprehension. Means to be without reason. To be without reason. Without rational ground. There's no rationale in their thinking. It's an inability to think orderly. It's a lack of mental sanity and sobriety. Mentally. And as we said last week, it's basically a reckless habit of mind. When someone is reckless, they are dangerous. When somebody is reckless, they not only endanger themselves, they may very well endanger those around them. Somebody that's reckless in an automobile. Not only is a danger to themselves, but a danger to those around them. So it's a reckless habit of mind. And I believe that pretty much sums up our society. A reckless habit of mind, making absolutely no sense whatsoever. To be without understanding is to be senseless. Again, this is something that even goes beyond man's natural absence of understanding. It's to be without discernment. That is, there's an inability to separate truth from error. In 1 Kings chapter 3, if we turn there, 1 Kings 3, verse 9, the prayer of Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Understanding. To judge the people. That. I need this understanding heart that I may discern between good and bad. So there is a connection between understanding and discernment. Discernment is of the utmost importance. It is the faculty of mind that enables us to distinguish between one thing and another. It's that faculty of mind that enables us to distinguish truth from error. What's right, what's wrong. Moral, immoral. People, as a result of this reprobate mind, are without understanding, and they have lost their faculty of mind that is able to discern between moral and immoral. The individual who defends immorality, that defends an immoral way of life, and they'll use such arguments as this is the 21st century, or everybody else is doing it. Well, not everybody. But that's the reasoning. I mean, they've lost their ability to reason, but they've also lost their ability to distinguish. Anybody that tries to defend error or immorality or anything like that, they can't discern. And then they'll make statements such as, well, it's all the same. Well, now you've just announced that you have no ability to separate between two things without understanding. Throughout the Old Testament in particular, and the principle is taught all through the Word of God, there is a call for God's people to discern. You cannot live the Christian life and not be able to discern between right and wrong. The foundation of the Christian life, or the first principle of the Christian life, is follow me. Well, you're going to have to be able to discern in order to do that. You have to discern between him and everyone else. And if you can't do that, who knows who you're going to follow? In Leviticus chapter 10, the people are called upon to discern. In verse 10, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference between your hands being clean and your hands being dirty. There's a difference. There is a difference. You know, they try to make it the same. Two men married each other. Two women married each other. There's no difference, they'll say. Our marriage is just as valid as a man and a woman. You see, they've lost their ability to discern. They're without understanding. They can't make that difference. A lot of it, of course, is they're not willing to, but I'll even take it further. They can't. Because they've been given over to a reprobate mind. In Leviticus 11, verse 47, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And I mean, we could give a lot of examples of the lack of discernment in our society. Notice in Jeremiah 15 and the 19th verse, Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile. Now, there's discernment there. Precious and vile. Thou shalt be as my mouth. So we see we're to take forth the precious from the vile. There has to be a distinction. People who, and this is why churches have given into abominable practices, because they can't discern between the precious and the vile. They're without understanding. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, then shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. People, the wicked will say, well, I'm no different than anyone else. But they are. They've lost their ability to see that difference. They've lost their ability to discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. How today people who profess to be saved will say that, I mean, there's no danger of them serving God. It's obvious. But yet they'll say, well, I serve the Lord just as much as the one who does. And they believe that. And the reason they believe that is because they're without understanding. They can't make a difference between the one who serves and the one who doesn't. So, without understanding results in the absence, in an absence of discernment. Now, you put that together with everything else in Romans chapter 1. You put that together with the fact that we live in a culture of filth. We live in a culture that's vile. We live in a culture of wickedness and ungodliness and abomination and blasphemy and heresy. And then you add to that a people who cannot put a difference between those things and what's right. You've got disaster. You've got destruction. And not only that, it's intensifying. It intensifies by the moment. And that's where we are today in society. People have been given over to a reprobate mind, and they are without understanding. They are without discernment. It is what we read in Ephesians. If we turn over there, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. It is, and we'll get to this later, not today, but in the following week, their conscience is destroyed. They're without feeling. I can't tell you how many times I have sat down with people, tried to show them where they're wrong, and many times they'll say, well, the Lord hasn't, we don't feel like we're doing anything wrong. And what's sad is, that's true. They're blatantly wrong, but they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. Certainly, if there was something wrong with it, the Lord would show me. Certainly, if there's something wrong with it, I would feel a certain way. But my conscience is clear. That's a sad commentary, because it means that you're without understanding. You can't. And you've gotten to the point where you're past feeling. It's the hardening of the heart. To be without understanding is to be possessed and controlled and under the influence of worldly wisdom. And in closing, notice James chapter 3, verse 15. Here in James 3, he speaks of two different kinds of wisdom. There's a heavenly wisdom that descendeth from above, but in James 3, verse 15, well, verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, why not against the truth? This wisdom, that is the wisdom that produces bitter envy and strife, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It's not of God, but instead it's earthly. That is, it's in line with the spirit of the world. It's sensual. That means it's in line with fleshly appetites. And then lastly, it's devilish. That means it's demonic. So this without understanding is a very serious situation. And we live in a society that has been left to themselves. And the result is they are without understanding. And the results of that is destruction everywhere. The result of that is the destruction of the home, destruction of family, destruction of marriage, on and on and on we could go. So the destruction of learning, it's the destruction of everything without understanding. God help us in this society in which we have been called to serve the Lord. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you do teach us from your word. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be at all times. And again, Lord, we do pray for those who are lost. We pray, Lord, that you'd save their souls. Lord, again, that you would just draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.